Well, good morning. It is a blessing and a privilege to be here to open up the Word this morning with you all. If you will, our text this morning will be found in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. And as you're turning there, just to kind of help set up the context or the theme of this book, Paul is really writing to establish the preeminence of Christ, that Christ comes before and is before all things. He also wants to establish these glorious realities that we have in Christ, the forgiveness of sins, that Christ has canceled our debt by nailing it to the cross. He really wants to just set up the beauty and the glory and the majesty of Christ. And that'll be helpful as we turn to chapter 3 and read these first four verses. I'll be reading along with you in the Pew Bible. So if you are using that, it is found on page 1949. Hear now the word of the Lord. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Amen. As for the reading of God's holy word, and may he add his blessing to it, let us go now to the Lord in prayer. Our almighty God and gracious heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you and praise you for the privilege of gathering together this morning to worship with one another, to commune with you through the singing and the preaching and the praying, Lord. Lord, would you bless this time mightily to us? Lord, as we seek this morning, would you help us to see the beauty and the glory of Jesus Christ? Would our minds be set upon him? Would you direct our hearts and inflame our hearts with a love for him? Lord, as I open your word, would you help me to stand behind you, that your word may be proclaimed, that the glory may be to you. Lord, help us to hear and to understand, and give us wisdom as we seek to apply this text. Lord, we pray this in your Son's precious and matchless name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, dear congregation, our lives and our pilgrimages on this earth, they're filled with ups and downs, or you could say peaks and valleys. King Solomon reminds us that in everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. So there will be seasons in our life of joy, seasons of sadness, times of pain and suffering, times of comfort and blessedness. We'll go through many trials, many tribulations. Yet there will also be times in our lives that are filled with peace, gospel advancement, spiritual abundance. But it's in these times that there can be a temptation for us to lose sight of what really matters. A temptation to focus on the earthly rather than set our minds on the here and now, or focus on the earthly and set our minds on the here and now rather than to focus on the glories and the realities that we have in heaven, that we have in Christ. We usually find ourselves in tough circumstances asking the question, why? Asking God, why are you allowing this? Why is this happening to me? And it comes in these tough times that we often may drift from God, saying, God's just not with me anymore. I don't feel God's presence. God has left me. We can also, in good times, this can be worse. In good times, we can begin to set our minds on earthly things and only look to our surroundings and look to the things that we think will bring us happiness and peace, but in reality, we're being diverted from Christ. You see, we are to fill our hearts and our minds with love for Christ, love for Jesus. We're to see that he is directing our lives for his glory, So we cannot lose sight in any of the seasons of life of what really matters. We cannot lose sight of Christ. And that's what we see as we come to our text this morning. Paul shifts from this glorious description of redemption that God has bestowed upon us in Christ to how we walk as Christians, to the Christian life, the Christian walk. He calls us here in verses 1 through 4 to be heavenly minded or spiritually minded. And this heavenly mindedness, this spiritually mindedness, this is a pillar for us. It's a pillar on the foundation of the Christian life. It's a life that is wrapped up in Christ. And that's our theme this morning, is wrapped up in Christ. Our lives are to be wrapped up in Him. And I want to clarify this phrase as we go on, because it really has two main descriptors. The first is to be, when we hear wrapped up, the first thing we might think of is to be consumed with or caught up. You might think, especially with a lot of young ones here, I'm wrapped up in my studies. I'm consumed with my schoolwork. For the adults, it may be our earthly work and our lives. I'm wrapped up in the things that I have to do at work or the responsibilities and chores that I have at home. So that first idea is that idea of being caught up or consumed with. And the second one for us to consider this morning, or to the descriptor, is to be protected. The idea of protection. We often think of this being wrapped up when we see newborn babies, right? We swaddle them up when we hold them. We protect them in a blanket. It's the idea of protecting them, keeping them warm so their temperature stays. You also might think, especially, I don't know if all of you live in Colorado, but for us in Colorado, when it gets cold, we wrap ourselves up in our coats to keep warm. The idea is to protect us from the cold, right? Or wrap a blanket at home. The idea, though, is protection. So I want you to keep those in mind as we go through the text. The idea of being wrapped up, either being consumed with, to be caught up in, or also the idea of protection, because both are going to be important as we look at this. And so as we move into the text, I want us to consider three realities under this idea of wrapped up in Christ. Three realities, and I'll give them all to you now. The first one is our ascent. We're going to look at that in verses 1 and 2. The second one is our affections. Also, again, we'll look at those in verses 1 and 2. And the third reality is our appearing. And we'll look at that in verses 3 to 4. So our ascent, our affections, and our appearing. First, our ascent. Look again with me at verses 1 and 2. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Paul is writing here to the Colossians that they are to seek the things that are above, or to set their mind on things that are above. This is an ascent or drawing up of our heart, our mind, and our soul from the things which are earthly up to those glorious realities of heaven. Notice that verse 1 says that if we're raised with Christ, we are to seek things that are above where Christ is. As we heard this morning in our call to worship and even in our scripture reading, Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is where Christ is. He's established in his exaltation, reigning and ruling over this world and the church. And that's what Paul is calling us to. He's calling us to set our minds upon Christ. A picture of this that really has helped me, a book that's really helped me in general, is John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress. If you're familiar with the book, if you're not, I highly suggest that you consider it and use it as devotional. But there's this man, Christian, in the story. And all throughout this book, Christian is leaving the city of destruction and he's headed to the heavenly city. And what he's doing and what's causing this is he's heard the word of God and the promises of God, and he begins to set his mind on the things of God. And that is what gets him to the heavenly city. It causes him to leave behind his family, his friends, and everything he knows. But it's that idea of being set upon God. His mind was set upon God. Again, this is an ascent or drawing up of your heart, mind, and soul from the things which are earthly to the glorious realities of heaven. And it's important for us to catch this. It's really important that we catch this. Paul is exhorting you to take off all earthly things, and we're to look above where Christ is. And he says, if you be risen with Christ, and I want you to understand this too, because this speaks of our union with Christ. For all of us that are in Christ Jesus, we're united to him in his death and by his death and through his resurrection. We're raised with him. So our heavenly duty, our duty here in this text is to look to things above. Now, I know I've repeated this constantly, but I kind of want to get that idea. We're to look to things above, because this is a taking our eyes off of everything that diverts them from Christ and stands in the way of our gazing upon him. Now, this gazing or this looking off and looking onto can be a looking off of both good and evil things. That's why I've specified that. We might think we're only to look off the things that are evil in this world, but no, that's not what the text is calling us to. It's saying look off both good and evil things. So I want to consider this. Let's first consider the good. Solomon in Ecclesiastes tells us that all is vanity. He says it's vanity of vanities. We might often misunderstand this phrase, but what Solomon is not saying is that all things are useless or meaningless. Rather, he is using this phrase to depict transience. That has the idea of being fleeting or momentary. James, in his epistle, also reminds us that all of our earthly life is but a vapor. It's but a vapor. So when we get caught up in the good of this life and our eyes are diverted from Christ, we miss the purpose for which God has called us. So we got to be careful when it comes to good things. We got to be careful that we don't miss Christ when we are, as I heard this morning, for most of you who are young, you're going off, you're trying to figure out your lives. What careers? Am I going to go to college? Who am I going to marry? How many kids am I going to have? Where am I going to live? How am I going to pay for where I live? Those are good considerations. Those are things that we need to know, but they cannot cause us to be diverted from Christ. I think about the adults in this room. We often get caught up in career goals or our finances. Now, again, these are good things, but we cannot let them divert us from Christ. We must have Christ in the center, Christ at the forefront. I think about our relationships, our marriages. They cannot stand without Christ. So when we look at the good of them apart from Christ, it's actually diverting us from the communion that we're supposed to have with our spouse, united to the Lord. So we must be careful, even with good things, even when it comes to good things, that those things do not cause us to be diverted from looking on to Christ Jesus or looking to Christ Jesus. And this is especially true as we know of evil things. I don't want to miss past this because there are so many things in our culture and our society in this world. Sin, as I'll read here in a minute, that sin so easily ensnares us. It hinders our relationship with God. It severs that communion that we have. And there are so many things in our life that we might be willing to compromise, whether that be the music we listen to or movies we watch, the people we hang around with. It could be for those who are older. I know I work in construction. There's a lot of the communication and talk with my coworkers that is pretty wicked. And the call here is that we need to look off of those things. We need to remove ourselves from the things that would cause us to sin. We need to look off the evil in this world. As believers, we are united to Christ. Our duty, since we have been called to Christ, is to look to him, to set our minds and our focus on that race. Just as Christian in the Pilgrim Progress, we are to advance to that glorious reality that one day we will stand face to face with our Maker. We will stand face to face with Christ. So all things that we do in this life are directed for that purpose. All things. So again, as I've already mentioned, your studies are directed to the glory of God. Your career one day, young ones, directed to the glory of God. Your families are directed to the glory of God. You're raising them up to glorify God and build his kingdom. So our minds must be set upon Christ. We need to look off of earthly things and look unto him. We are to be those whose roots are planted in that heavenly soil, that though we travel through this world, we are heavenly minded. We're heavenly minded. We're drawn up and we're ascended to these glorious realities. We're drawn up to Christ. And this brings me to my second point this morning, our affections. Our affections. And as we move from considering our ascent, this looking off and looking on, we might ask the question, how do we do this? And that's where this second point really comes in, our affections. Look again with me at verses 1 and 2. It says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, and to set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So Paul calls us to seek and to set. And what are we to seek and to set? We're to set our affections. The NKJV here, I want to make really quickly, it uses the word set our minds. And that is actually translated more literally, but I actually prefer the King James here because it captures the full intent. So that's where I get that idea of affections, just so you know. Our affections comes from that same word mind. In the King James, it's translated affections. But this is the intent of the word mind, is to capture that idea of heart and mind. I did that backwards, heart and mind. And that's important because our affections matter. Our affections matter. To show you this, Christ, in the Gospels, he tells us, you know, when it comes to our heart, he says in Luke 6:45 that out of the abundance of our hearts, our mouth speaks. Our mouth speaks. And this is important because what we spend most of our time with, that's what fills our hearts. That's what consumes our hearts and our minds. It actually moves our affections. It begins to cause our hearts to grow in our love for something. This is why we must be diligent to pursue those heavenly realities. And we must be aware of pursuing earthly things. Because what goes into our heart, what we spend time consuming, will cause our love for it to grow. A few weeks back, to kind of help you get this picture, I had a flood in my basement. We had a bunch of rain in the Springs. I don't know if you had the rain here as we had in Denver, as we had in Colorado Springs, but we had so much rain that my window wells in my basement's just filled up and all the water come rushing in. But the point of this is, as we started to clean up and dry all of this up, I started to look at my wallboards, because it's important that you notice the water level on your wallboards. And it's crazy how those wallboards, that drywall, just wicks up. It soaks up that water. And that's the same idea here that Jesus has of out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. Because what we put in here, what we spend time thinking about, looking upon, meditating upon, reading, spending time with, those things will wick up in our hearts, just like that water into my drywall. It'll suck it up, and then out of that it comes forth. The reason we do this also is because of mold, and this is important, because if heavenly things are not what's filling your heart, it'll be just like the mold that can grow in my wall. The evil that fills your heart can become very deadly to you. Just like mold can be a very deadly fungi, sin to your heart is a deadly fungi. So we must be careful. We must be careful. So as we get that picture in our mind, I want to consider two really headings under this. First, the means, and second, the content. So what is the means of our the means to grow our affections, and what is the content to help grow our affections? So what is the means and what is the content? First, let's consider the means. Notice that Paul uses the word seek here. To seek has the idea of pursuing diligently. If you've ever spent time watching any of the Discovery Channel or any of those wild animals chasing after their prey. That's the idea of seek. We're to be a lion chasing a gazelle. We're to be like wolves hunting down their prey. We're to pursue diligently. That should be the pursuit that we have in our meditation and in our prayer. Then we also need to understand our affections. So as we pursue things diligently, our affections grow, right? I've mentioned that. For you young ones, think about what you love the most. What is it that you love the most? Is it books that you spent time reading and a lot of time meditating upon? Your affections for that thing grow? Could be a certain genre of music. Could be movies, outdoors. It could be art. There are so many things that we can set our minds on to grow our affections. A great picture for us in Scripture and those who are married and even for you who are seeking to be married one day is our relationships we have with our spouses. We spend time with them. We get to know them. We try to figure out everything about them. What's their favorite food, their favorite color, what are their likes, what are their dislikes. And all of this time we spend with them, our affections for them grow, our love for them our love grows. This even happens in friendships. I don't want to discount this. I have a really dear friend, but I to just use the example, our friendships are important. Those who we spend time with, those who will hear us out, those who will talk with us and pray with us, we spend time with them so our affections grow. And I also think of even the young ones in here, little kids, stuffed animals. And I only use this as an example because I still have my stuffed animal that I had when I was a kid. Still packed away, but I have them. But my affection for them grew. So the children in here that are listening, think about your stuffed animals, because the reason they do everything with you, they go on adventures with you, they play with you, it's because you spent time with them, and that word affections is your love growing for them. So we need to pursue these things diligently. We need to understand our affections. And we need to really tie this to the Lord. We need to tie this to the Lord. Tie it to Christ. Christ is the content in which we are to focus on. Remember, verse 1 says, you're raised with Christ. You're to seek things which are above. Why? That's where Christ is. That's where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. And how do we do this? The means of doing this is that seeking, that pursuing diligently, but we're to do it by meditation and prayer. Meditation and prayer. I want to start first with prayer because it's an idea we seem to all understand. But do we make the time for it? You have to ask yourself that question. Are you making time to pray? Are you spending time with God in prayer, first alone, in your private worship? Are you worshiping and seeking the Lord in prayer? And if not, this is not legalism, because a lot of times it says it is, but you need to schedule that time. It's a reality, because that is the life and the breath of the Christian. It's our communion with God in prayer. So set time to pray with God if you're not doing it. You need to pursue that diligently. It needs to be something you do each and every day. This will help grow your affections for the Lord by praying to Him. One old Puritan said, those who do not seek for the Lord in the morning will be hard-pressed or hardly find Him at the close of day. So make time for prayer. But also make time for prayer with your church. Attend fellowship and prayer meetings that your church provides. Do this with your family. Pray with them. Seek the Lord together, because your affections for Christ will grow through prayer. But we also do this, secondly, the second means is meditation. Meditation. Spend time sitting with the Lord, thinking about His Word. And this isn't a mindless meditation that you hear talked about today. This isn't what the world talks about of going and clearing your mind. No, this is a setting your mind again upon the things of the Lord. So when you read in the morning, take time not only to read, but to think back over the things that you have read. Hide them in your heart. Take them with you throughout the day. Continually remind yourselves and meditate upon the glorious realities and truths that you find in Scripture. Or the sermons that you hear week from week in your church. That's the beauty of these things. We can write the sermon notes and we can take those with us and continue to meditate upon what our pastors are teaching us. But if we know that we're to set our minds on things above, we're to look to Christ, looking off of earthly things and looking on to Christ, and we're to seek and to set our affections by the means of meditation and prayer, we need to continue on with the idea of that second thing, the content. Now, I've already mentioned Christ and the beauty of him, and that should be the focus of our meditation, the focus of our affections should be Christ. We've seen earlier that Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Meditate upon the wondrous truth of Christ's exaltation. We have it right there in the text. But we can also consider, if we went back in Colossians 1, what are we to set our mind upon? We can consider Paul's prayer for us in chapter 1. We can consider being filled with the knowledge of God's will and wisdom. Right? We can pray about those things. Help grow our affections. We can ask that God would fill us with wisdom and spiritual understanding. That he would fill us with strength according to his glorious power. Right? And we can meditate as Paul calls us to in Philippians 4:8 when he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, the things that are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," he calls us to think upon those things, to meditate upon them. So what are we to do? We're to meditate on the things that are true and honest, contrary to the things that are false and dishonest. We're to meditate upon the things that are just instead of that which is unjust. We're the things that are pure versus that which is impure. For whatsoever is lovely versus that which causes bitterness or embitterness or hatred. And he says here, whatsoever things are of good report. And I especially want to pick up on this one because in our society today, we're so tempted to set our minds upon the social issues, the cultural issues, things that are clearly just of bad report. And we lose sight of the promises in Scripture that God is reigning and is going to, we sung it in 110, the victory is Christ. He will advance his kingdom on this earth. He will accomplish all that he's promised. Christ reigns. We're sure in Christ. So let's focus on the good things. And this is also, if we go back to that idea of looking off, we're to look off of the bad report. Don't surround yourselves with people who want to focus on things that clearly divert your eyes from Christ. We have to be aware of this. We have to be aware of where our affections are. I can't stress this enough. Sin so easily will ensnare you. It'll creep in. And actually, as the author of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1, he says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance, or run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." We must beware of that sin that would so easily ensnare us, that would divert us from the things that we are called to do for our purpose of living and glorifying God in Christ. And then thirdly, this morning, I want to look at our appearing. If you look with me again at verses 3 and 4, it says, "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory." I want to stress a few things because as we look at our first two points, our ascent and our affections. We also have to understand that those who seek to live their life in Christ, to walk with the Lord, will also face a level of persecution. I can't say how much or what at all, but there will be suffering. As I mentioned in our introduction, there's a season for everything in this life. There's joy and gladness, but there's also pain and suffering. There's trials and tribulations. And as we've looked at what we are called to do, what we have in Christ and what we are called to do, we also have here in verses 3 and 4 this promise that helps us. Helps us to endure trials and tribulations. Helps us to endure the suffering and the pain and the sorrow of this world. It says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. Right? You're to do those things. And you have this promise here. It also tells you why you're to do it, for you have died. But you have this promise. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's hidden with Christ in God. Now, I mentioned earlier to keep in mind that idea of being wrapped up in Christ. My first two points really deal with that being consumed or caught up in. But this point deals with that idea of being protection. That's what hidden means. Paul is not using that your life is hidden with Christ as some sort of mystery here like he's used in other places. He's using this word to denote the idea of protection. Your life is wrapped up in Christ. It speaks of your union with Jesus Christ. You've died with him, but you are alive and secure in Christ. This is a promise that's given to you throughout Scripture. In Psalm 25:7, we read, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon the rock. Psalm 32:7 says, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. See, we have this hope as Christians that as we seek to live our lives for the Lord, that Christ will protect us, that he will secure us, that he has promised to save us. We're going through the book of Acts in our church right now, and a couple of things that the sermon we heard last week was in chapter 12, where James is, he's martyred. He's killed for his faith and boldness in the truth. And Peter's also imprisoned. And the reason I bring this up, because as we look at verses like this, Christ will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. We might look at James and say, well, why did James die? Well, James may have died, but his life didn't end there. His life didn't end there. Because his life was hid with Christ and God. And Peter, I love Peter here because Peter's just asleep. He's in prison. He's chained to two guards. And he has such rest that the angel shows up with a bright light, and that's not enough to wake Peter. He has to prod Peter. He has to prod him. Well, how could Peter sleep at a time when James has just died? I'm in prison. I'm next. How is Peter sleeping? Because he understood this truth that his life was hid with Christ in God. He understood the truth of the Psalms where it says that God will hide me in the shelter in the day of trouble. That Christ is a hiding place for me. He preserves me in the day of trouble. They understood this, and we're called to do this too. And that's why Paul gives us here in verse 3 this truth. We have died. The death that we have to fear if we're in Christ has already passed because it's been paid for in Christ. We don't have to face judgment. Now, if you do not know the Lord, you have not this hiding place. You have not Christ as your rock and refuge. You have not the peace that Peter had or James had. You have not the peace that Paul is proclaiming here. Because the death that he's talking about is a death in Christ. It's the death of death and the death of Christ. So I would call you to consider these truths. If you want this peace, if you desire this peace. But for those of you who have Christ, you have this. You have this shelter. You have this covering, this hiding place. But you also have confidence. You have confidence. And that's verse 4, right? Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Psalm 17:15 says, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I will be satisfied with your likeness. The reason, as we consider these things, the reason this is so important for us to grasp, this importance of looking off of earthly things and of looking on to Christ, of making sure that our affections, our hearts and our minds are set upon Christ and our love for him grows. The reasons these things are important is because they give us assurance. God calls us to do it. No matter what comes our way, we'll be able to experience joy in those seasons, and we will be assured that what God has promised to us, he will accomplish. So we will not have to fear death. As I've said, we've already died. The death that we have to fear has been dealt with in Christ. We've died in Christ. We no longer fear the judgment and the wrath of God that is to come. We can say confidently that we will behold his face in righteousness. And when I awake, and what the psalmist is saying here is the same thing that Paul is referring to. When I awake, he's speaking of death. When I die, but when I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. Death has this idea of sleeping, and especially used in the King James, but in the Old Testament, that it's synonymous with sleeping. So we must not fear death. We have confidence to not fear death here because of the promises of God. We have confidence. We have boldness that Christ, who is our life, when he appears, we will appear with him in glory. And for some of us, we might not ever taste death. We don't know. I'm not going to get into any eschatology here, but we know that the Lord is returning, that Christ is coming back. And for us who are in Christ, we have confidence. We have confidence that we are hidden in him and that we will appear with him. That we will be with Christ in glory. We will be with Christ in glory. Well, as we conclude, I want us to really to think about how are we doing? How are we doing? What captures our hearts and our minds? What are the things we find ourselves looking to and looking on so often? How much time do we spend considering about earthly cares and the things of this world rather than focusing upon Christ, meditating upon him, praying to him, spending time in his word or fellowship with other believers? Do we have confidence and assurance, as Paul says there? I want to return to the Pilgrim's Progress for a minute. And as I said already, Paul Bunyan really captures this theme throughout his allegory. You know, as I said, Christians set out on this journey from the city of destruction to the heavenly city. And there's this phrase that sticks out to me. This is in the very beginning of the book. If you've read it, you're familiar. Right as Christian leaves the city of destruction, two men from the city, obstinate and pliable, they follow out after Christian to try to bring Christian back. They want to persuade him to look off of those heavenly things and to look on back on the worldly things. And so they run him down and they're trying to persuade him to go back. And they actually fail at this. There's this time of arguing, disputing, reasoning, mostly on behalf of obstinate. But as he fails, obstinate turns back, but pliable agrees to go. Pliable begins this journey with Christian. And right after Obstinate returns back to the City of Destructions, Pliable asks about the things that cause Christian to leave the city. He asks him, what are these things that you want to leave everything behind? And you want to go to this heavenly city? And Christian says something here that I think is pertinent to our text. He says, I can better conceive of them with my mind than to speak of them with my tongue. But since you are desirous to know, I will read of them in my book. You see, why it's important for our minds to be set upon the Lord is because we often understand these truths just as Christians better in here